The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Welcome to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland, Bert Harper with you, and we're anticipating going through three books today to find the thread of redemption. They must be small. They are. They're just one chapter books, 2 John, 3 John, and Jude. And we hope you have time to get your Bibles out and join us as we do this Bible study that we've been doing, looking at the thread of redemption through each book of the Bible. Alex, I know that you're ready to go, but tell me a little bit about the weekend. Did you have a good weekend, brother?
Oh, we had a great weekend, and happy Monday to your brother Bert and to everyone listening. It really is good to be back for another week of Exploring the Word. But my goodness, this weekend, what a wonderful time I had in Houston, Texas. And everybody listening knows I love Texas. I talk about Texas all the time. But we were at a church called Bethel Church. Nathan Hansen is the youth pastor, and what a great guy he is. And we had listeners come out. I mentioned on Friday that I was going to be there, and oh my goodness, a lot of people came out, families and individuals, and we just had a really good time. So lots of love for Texas, and a big thanks to the wonderful folks of Houston who made us feel so welcome.
It is great, and we appreciate Texas, and I love their motto, don't mess with Texas. And so we appreciate
Let me tell you, there's a lot of God's people down in Texas, a lot of people there that love the Lord, and what a joy to teach young people how to defend their faith.
Amen. Well, let's get into it. We've got three books to cover, although they're like three chapters, and you could do that. But we're in 2 John first, and we're looking at the thread of redemption. And I just want to pick one verse, and Alex, you may have one that or something there. The things that come out, the word truth is really prominent in 2 and 3 John both. And really, the importance of truth is important in Jude. They all have that in common. But the verse that I wanted to look at is verse 9, and it talks about the doctrine of Christ. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. At this point in time, John was really emphatic on theology and biblical, authority.
Truth.
Yeah, biblical truth. And so the doctrine of Christ, a little bit different, but when you study what doctrine means, it's the whole idea of the teachings of Christ, what Christ taught. And the words that he uses, abide in the doctrine and abides in the doctrine of Christ, could not help but think of John chapter 15, where it talks about abiding, the branches and the vine abiding. And so his marks of authenticity are in this book. Wouldn't you agree?
Exactly, exactly. Well, really, in 2 and 3 John, you see repeated words. And, you know, Bert, you are the king of repeated words, but one of them is truth. Verse 4, I rejoiced greatly that I found thy children walking in truth. You know, 2 and 3 John, well, 2 John is written to the elect lady and her children, and it's a reference to the church and a church and believers, and the word lady is in this a lot. Female term, the bride of Christ, children, believers, some of which are newborn believers that need to be brought up. And you see these words, the lady, the children, the truth. And why is it so important to impress this truth on people? Bert, much could be said on verse 7 of 2 John. For many deceivers are entered into the world who don't confess that Jesus is the Christ who's come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. This is kind of a theme, warning against the denial of Jesus and the anti-Christian, antichrist mindset of the denial of Jesus' deity. That this is kind of something we saw back in 1 John chapter 2, wasn't it?
It is. And again, it's still true today. Everything we believe as believers is centered around Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Who he was, what he did, where he went, where he is now and when he's coming back, but also the teaching. And I think that's why the doctrine of Christ is so important. And I've already alluded to that. I didn't allude to it. I just claimed it in verse 9. The doctrine of Christ has to do with salvation, but it also has to do with living. And people, I hear it all the time. Well, Jesus didn't say anything about homosexuality. He didn't say anything about gambling. He didn't, these certain things. But yet, his teaching affirms certain things. And one of those things that is affirmed is marriage between a man and a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And we're to abide that. And those of us that are believers and followers of Christ, those are important doctrines that we stand on. And every important doctrine there is in the Bible will be connected to Jesus Christ, Alex. That's
well,
the
amen.
Whole thing. Jesus Christ came into the world, and he turned the world upside down. And those that followed him, it says, they have turned the world upside down, and they've come here. So the doctrine of Christ here in 2 John is important because the doctrine of Christ and truth go hand in hand.
Absolutely. And, you know, to those that would say something like, well, you know, Jesus didn't specifically mention homosexuality. Well, he did in that being an observant, pious Jewish person, he was here to fulfill the law. He continually affirmed the Old Testament. And he did say male and female, God made them. A man shall leave his father and mother, shall cleave to his wife. So he endorsed what we would call heterosexual monogamy, marriage. But he affirmed the Old Testament. He made provision for the New Testament. He said that his apostles would be his appointed messengers. John 14, he said, the Spirit will remind you of all things whatsoever I've told you. But Bert, here's the thing. Whenever somebody wants to twist and, you know, revise the teachings of the Gospels to their own ends, you know, Jesus didn't talk about germ warfare. He didn't talk about credit card theft. He didn't talk about identity theft or cybersecurity. But he laid down the basic moral principles of God's Word. The other thing is, what we have recorded in the Gospels is not an exhaustive record of everything Jesus ever said. And so to somehow retroactively look back and try to legitimize what the Bible clearly paints as sin and to use Jesus to that purpose is not appropriate at all.
It is not. And we need to stand firm in love. Now, here's the whole idea. Yes, I know some people that are right, and they're right in their doctrine, but I wouldn't want to follow them because of,
don't
you know,
have a lot of love.
Yeah. And so Jesus was able to do this and able to put the Pharisees in their place, is able to put even Pilate, and when he talked to him, when he said, what is truth? And he is able to do that, yet with a spirit about him that was attractive. I'm using that word, and I'm using it loosely. But there needs to be that in our life as well. When we stand and speak on truth, we need to do it firmly, but at the same time, we need to do it with hope that those can come to Christ. Alex, when you move to 3 John, there's something that is repeated, and that is truth. Here it is mm-hmm. again. But
right.
I want to bring this out, and then I know we won't have time. We'll come back and develop the rest of 3 John and Jude. But what's interested in 3 John are all the names. This is a little bit unusual for John. Even in the Gospel of John, I think is referring to himself as the Gospel, as the apostle whom Jesus loved. But here he names Gaius, Diotrephes, and Demetrius. And this is kind of unusual for John, wouldn't you say? I mean, he didn't throw out names the way Paul did in his writings. When I say throw out names, use those names. But he does here in 3 John, doesn't he?
He does, the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. You know, it's interesting, four times he calls him well-beloved. And so I think it was somebody that John had led to Christ, and was a leader that he had kind of watched over the spiritual growth of. What do you think?
I agree. Again, this is important to me, and I try, when we're doing books like we're doing, we're trying to put the highlights in them. And you can't do it. We're not doing an exhaustive study. We do that on an ongoing basis, but we took time out to do the thread of redemption. And Gaius here is someone whom I love, and in truth, this was a love that they had. I think it was a ministering love. They had ministered together. He says he wants him to prosper. He talks about being faithful. And then he goes again in verse 11, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, a warning. So he gives him these encouragements, but he also gives the warning of certain things not to do. Mm-hmm. Alex, that's good teaching and good preaching. Good preaching that has nothing but warnings and those things that just don't do this and don't do that. I'm not saying they're not important, but your brain can only carry so many. And then those that have, do this, and it's just beyond how great it is, without some balance to it, is dangerous. I look at 3 John, and I look at the balance that he had when he encouraged Gaius as something, as an example that we need to be involved in when we are talking with people.
Well, this is going to be simplistic, but let me just say this. If 1 John is about devotion to Christ, 2 John is about our doctrine, we believe, and 3 John is about our deeds that we do. 2 John is a lot of, there's some very emphatic warnings against false doctrine. 3 John, there's some cautions about our deeds. And it says this, testify the truth that is in you, walk in the truth, verse 3. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Amen. And I would say that's even kind of echoed there in verse 7, where it talks about the preachers that go about not taking anything from the Gentiles. Verse 8, fellow helpers in the truth. So isn't it true, Bert? I mean, isn't it fair to say, we've got a true message. We need to be true messengers. We've got the authentic gospel. Amen. We need to be authentic representatives of that gospel.
The message and the messenger should have some kind of familiarity with one another. Yep. And I say that truthfully because sometimes I've heard people say, your life speaks so loudly that I can't hear what you're saying. In other words, there's a contradiction there. So you get the words, the walk and the talk. Yep. And so what you have in 2 John is this talk. Yes, your doctrine, your talk needs to be lined up, but 3 John, your walk needs to verify what your talk is. And he uses the word walk mm-hmm. in the truth, my children, walk in the truth. And so the idea of following through with what you say is so important. It mm-hmm. was important to John, and he is saying, Gaius, do that, continue in that. And then I think in verse 11, he says, don't be distracted from that. In other words, mm-hmm. the evil's going to come. Don't let that distract you. Continue walking, sort of like Peter out on the walking on the water. Peter, don't be distracted by all the waves. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I think John has that to say in 3 John.
Absolutely, verse 11 especially. Well, hey, we've got that music. That means a break is coming up. This is Exploring the Word. Stay tuned, because when we come back, Bert and I will look at the book of Jude.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your healthcare, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other healthcare plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23. 23, now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
People don't mind you mentioning God as long as you keep him generic. But Dr. Tony Evans says it's a different story when we name the name of Jesus Christ. He'll share a personal example as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
They sent me a letter. They asked me to come down to City Hall and open up City Council with prayer, but just don't mention Jesus. Because we got Jewish people, we got people who don't believe, we got... So just keep it generic God. So I went down there. And I said, okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, now the City Council has asked me to pray, so I can only assume they want me to reach you. You've said that there's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. So in order to do what they asked me to do, I got to bring Jesus in to get it done. First of all, I want to thank you for creating the City Council, because if you didn't create them, they couldn't be here. And according to Scripture, everything that was made by Christ Jesus, so I got to thank Jesus that they're here. And then, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for creating government, because according to the Apostle Paul, you created government, the same apostle who met Jesus on the Damascus Road. And if there are any people here as they make their decisions who don't know Jesus Christ and that he died on the cross for their sins and rose from the dead, would you make it plain to them today? In Jesus' name, amen. So let me make this clear. If you don't want to be here by Jesus, don't invite me. Because I want to be an overcomer, and an overcomer declares Jesus Christ is Lord.
Learn to master the discipline spiritual overcomers have discovered. Check out Tony's CD series, The Jesus Challenge, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Now back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk. AFR Talk. AFR Talk.
Let the power of your words dwell in richly, changing the ways that I see. Fill me with otherly wisdom, plant me deep like a tree by the stream.
I know you've probably heard the word koinonia, which often is used to mean fellowship, the bond that we share in the gospel, in the body of Christ. In the book of Jude, and we're talking about the good news of the gospel in every book of the Bible, in Jude verse 3 it says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation." Well, that's the word koine, that we share Jesus together, and we hope that you do. You're listening to Exploring the Word. This is Alex McFarland with Bert Harper. Now, we're going to take calls and your Bible questions here in just a moment. I'll give the number. Might want to write it down, 888-589-8840, and in a few minutes, you can ask your Bible questions. Bert, we often talk about this being kind of a nationwide Sunday school class. When we do questions, I say this: if you've ever wanted to raise your hand during a sermon, now's your chance.
Amen.
Talking about the gospel in every book of the Bible, you know, I've often said this, traveling like I do, I can be on the road, you know, and I'll meet a total stranger. And, you know, many times, dozens of times, I'll be talking to somebody, you know, like at a restaurant or at an airport, and I'll say, "Hey, you're a Christian, right?" And they'll say, "Well, how did you know?" And I'll say, "You can just tell." And, you know, you meet a total stranger, and it's like family because you've got Christ in common. And I've always loved that verse in Jude, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that you earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints." I looked in the Greek, and that's the word koine, from which we get koinonia, fellowship.
It is common, and it has different derivatives in the New Testament of this common, commonality, community, and but it's having things in common. I've said this before on this radio program. My professor at Blue Mountain College, who's going to be of the Lord, Dr. James Travis, he'd say, if you wonder what describes fellowship or community, this koinonia, it's two fellows in the same ship.
And fellowship.
Yeah, fellowship. Two fellows. In other words, they've got it in common. They're you know, whether it's a small boat, they have it in common. And so think about that. They have these things in common. And the early church was very, very descriptive of that. And Barnabas, the man Barnabas, I think would be a hallmark of somebody that had this idea of commonality and sharing. And so here it is. He delivered it to them. I love that last word, which was once and for all delivered to the saints. In other words, it hasn't changed, Alex. What was what Jesus delivered, what the apostles wrote about, and what we preach about, and what we should practice today, it should not have changed. We need to have this common salvation.
Well, you know, the common salvation, let's talk about this also, not only that we share it together, and, you know, followers of Jesus just can have an instant friendship, but the common salvation in this regard too, that there is one way, and that's Jesus.
Only way. Friend, that's right.
If you want to go to heaven, there's one door that will get you in there, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, times change. People have said this. We've gotten emails, and I've certainly heard this in conversations. They'll say, well, you know, people don't believe like they used to. Times change. Well, times change, but the gospel doesn't change. It says the faith, not a faith, but the faith once delivered to the saints. Bert, there's a word that's come into our vernacular in recent decades. It's called revisionist history.
Right.
And by the way, folks, if you hear that phrase, a red flag ought to go up, because be careful when somebody wants to rewrite and revise and kind of put a spin on history. The faith was once delivered. No matter what culture does, or political correctness, or the changing of times, we don't revise or dilute the message that the Son of God went to the cross for the sins of humanity. We don't change it, do we?
We don't, but verse 4 says there were some that was creeping in, trying to do that. Now, I think that word crept in unnoticed. Satan, I think he usually does it two different ways, Alex, undercover or in broad daylight. There's certain people that are attracted, and I'm not talking about Star Wars, but I'm just going to use it, to the dark side. There's an attraction to darkness and death, and I think it's warped, yes, but there's an attraction, and Satan is out there in front leading the way. But then in churches, most of the time when he creeps into fellowships, he creeps in unnoticed, and that's the reason you try the spirits. That's why you don't, I would say, get a novice or a newcomer to be a leader. Give them time to grow. And notice what it is. What did they do? First, they made the grace of God into lasciviousness, a license to sin, and then denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That was so important, denying the Lord God. Alex, when any doctrine or any church denomination denies that Jesus is the only way, he's the only truth, he's the only life, that no man can come to the Father but by him, and when they try to rearrange his words to try to make him sound like he was saying some things he wasn't saying, it, you're talking about red flags, flashing lights should go up on those, shouldn't they?
Well, listen to this, folks. I'm working on the presentation I'm going to give at the Cove at the end of July, and I was doing some work on the Bible and, you know, defending the authenticity of the Bible. I want to read you a quote, and this reminds me of Jude verse 4. This says, "There are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to condemnation." And the word crept in, like you said, it stealthily means, you know, kind of under the radar. Listen to this paragraph, and this is a really good book on the canon of Scripture, and it's talking about how over the last, you know, century and a half, there's been an abandonment of the authority of God's Word. Okay, it says, "The Bible has withstood many attacks throughout the centuries from enemies of all sorts. But in the last 100 years, it has been called upon to withstand repeated attacks in the house of its friends. The Bible is now freely doubted by preachers in the pulpits and the teachers in the seminary classrooms of our land." And, Bert, is it fair to say also the Bible has suffered doubt and attack at the hands of its alleged friends, hasn't it?
Yes. The answer is yes. And anything that doubt, you go back to how Satan operated in the Garden of Eden. One of the first things he does is the doubt, denial, and then outright rebellion and death. But it starts with doubt. And so they're trying to say, did God say, has God said, oh, it's been a long time, hasn't times changed? So they try to throw doubt on it, and then it comes right out to denial. And here Jude is strong. He is probably the half-brother of Jesus, the full brother of James, who wrote the book of James, who was pastor, one of the lead pastors, one of the pillars in the church at Jerusalem. So he's writing with authority. And then he gives all these Old Testament examples, filled with examples here in these few verses, Alex, concerning people going the wrong way and how you're to operate in this world no matter what, and you're not to go a different way. But I wanted to point out one verse, and that's verse 12. And there's one phrase in that one verse, mm-hmm. and it's, they are clouds without water. What a picture, you know, in a drought, famine land, and you see clouds coming, forming, and hope rises, you know? And these clouds come and they form, but nothing comes from them. And it says, this is what these false teachers do. They look like they promise health and wealth. I'm going to go ahead and say it. They promise all these things, but honestly, when the going gets rough, it's nothing to it. There's no substance there. So they're clouds without water, and they're carried away with the wind. They don't last, do they?
No, they don't. It's a false promise. Because if you see a cloud, you think there's going to be rain. And a cloud without water, if you're in a place of a drought, and that's what the wording implies, you would be very disappointed. When the Bible talks about a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, that's empty clouds with no rain, no gospel, no good news. Friend, we're talking about the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who will believe. The gospel, the good news, and this is the best news you'll ever hear, is that God has made a way for sinners to be saved, the guilty to be forgiven, the lost to be found, and those that were headed to hell to go to heaven. And the gospel, you know, Bert, let me say this. If you want to grow crops, you got to have rain. And crops are food, and food sustains life. But rain can also be a little bit messy, but it gives life. I mean, it really does. The gospel, it's good news, but it's a serious message, and it includes the news. The good news contains bad news. Yeah. Bad news is we're sinners. And Bert, for some, it's humbling to have to admit that, but in order to be saved and come to Jesus, doesn't one have to admit they have a need?
They do. And without that, with that admission, if you keep on, you know, trying to you know, suggest that you're all right and justifying your lifestyle, which is against God, you'll never come to it. That's the reason the word confess, you say the same thing as God. You see yourself as God sees you, a sinner, away from Him. And so if you're justifying your lifestyle, you're justifying your choices, you're going in the wrong direction. And you need to turn around. That's the news. The good news contains the bad news that you're lost. And part of that is, but God, in His fullness, in His love, had compassion upon us and sent Jesus. And that's where it is. I want to read verse 20. I don't want to get away without reading these last few verses in the book of Jude. They are climactic, aren't they?
They really are.
Let me read verse 20 and following. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. There it is again. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen. Mm. Alex, the doxology of Jude, those last two verses, I would put them as some of the greatest doxologies in the Bible. One of the greatest closings in this small book is here in Jude, isn't it?
Well, it is. There's just a grandeur and a beauty about it that is so inspiring. And, you know, verse 17, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." We're to remember the words of Christ, and there's a warning about false teaching. We're to be kept separate and be led by the Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit, praying. But I love this doctrinal point. "To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, now and forever." Okay, who is our Savior? God incarnate. There's good doctrine right there up to the very final syllables of the book.
And notice in verse 24, "Now to Him." It is to Christ. This is Jude. He was an unbeliever. And he was one of those. If he is the half-brother of Jesus, which I firmly believe, there's evidence that he was this person. The family rejected Jesus until the resurrection, and then their lives were turned around completely. And he says, "Now." And I think there's significance words in that word "now." Mm-hmm. "Now to Him." Once you completely comprehend who Jesus Christ is, when I say completely, no one can completely here upon earth. But when you come to the place in your life where you realize who you are, realize what God has done and who Jesus Christ is and what He has done, now, I just want to share with you, He is able to keep you from stumbling. That's Him. He's able to present you faultless, without spot and without blemish, before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Alex, one of these days, whether we die and go to heaven or whether we're raptured and taken into His presence, according to this, we're going to be presented to the Father by Jesus Christ. And He's going to say, hopefully, "This is one of mine, Father. He well done." And He was a faithful servant. He's entering into the joy of the Lord. What a presentation that would be, Alex. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. What rejoicing, what comfort we have to think about that. Bert, I've always been touched by 21 through 23. It says, "But keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." And it's not only the upward look and the inward look, it's the outward look. And "Of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Okay, there's so much here, but how do we keep ourselves in the love of God? Well, it says, "Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, anticipating the day we'll see Christ, reflecting on how good He's been to us. But Bert, aren't you moved by this, 22 and 23, having compassion to literally snatch people out of the fire? That's sharing the gospel, winning souls to Christ. That's our mission, isn't it?
It is our mission, and we're to do it. We're to do it truthfully, not falsehood, not false hope, but truthfully, that Jesus came to save sinners, and we're qualified, and He's qualified to save us. 888-589-8840. Give us a call. Alex and I will be waiting on it.
Are you concerned about Washington, D.C.? It seems to me that Washington, D.C., our capital, gets a lot of criticism from a lot of people, and I certainly understand that. Things don't seem to work very well there sometimes. But I want you to know something. There is an astonishing amount of prayer that's taking place in Washington, D.C. We have literally thousands of Christians who are there in the trenches representing Christ. And they're gathering in prayer in unique and powerful ways. God's kingdom is active in Washington, D.C., in the lives of countless brothers and sisters who are praying day and night for God to move in that city and in our nation. We need to be lifting them up in prayer. My name is Dave Butts, Chairman of America's National Prayer Committee for OneCry.com.
Dads have their own unique way of doing life with their kids. Sometimes it's like a secret code only dads and children understand. Sometimes it's hugs and kisses and the gift of spending time together. Invest in the life of a dad by providing him with one of the amazing resources from AFAstore.net. Building a Family Legacy featuring Dr. James Dobson is a new 8-DVD set providing encouragement for dads. It's one of the many resources you'll find at AFAstore.net.
Life, Love, and Family, featuring the American Association of Christian Counselors President, Dr. Tim Clinton. Each weekday evening, you'll hear Dr. Clinton and his expert guests address important and sometimes difficult issues of our day that impact your life, your love, and your family, using the scriptures as their text. Access to archive programs is available at lifeloveandfamily.net. Life, Love, and Family, 11 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
A boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with American Family Association and American Family Radio. That is a highlight of our tour of the Holy Land when we go on the boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. A special time to be on the very water where Jesus walked, where he spent time with his disciples. And you know, in fact, you're the place where Jesus was. So many sights we're going to see in the Holy Land that are just like that. We know Jesus was here. The trip is in March, March 8th through the 16th, and we'd love for you to come with us. So many places we're going to see you've read about since you were a child. For more information, go to the website twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com. If you want a brochure sent to you in the mail, just call us at 800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, extension 5.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness.
You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Thank you for listening today, and we're going to take your questions in just a moment. We appreciate you calling. But before we do, Alex, we're involved in trying to get Planned Parenthood defunded. We have sent out several alerts asking people to call their senators. Right now, they're trying to do that. We don't have 60 votes to defund it, but all it would take is 51, just like they got Judge Gorsuch. Confirmed with, you know, the majority vote, they could do Planned Parenthood the same way. And so we're asking people to call their senators in their states and ask them to stop the legislative filibuster and go ahead and defund Planned Parenthood with a majority vote.
Amen.
And they can do that. Let me give this number. Now, don't get this mixed up with the number to call us. This is a separate number. This is the U.S. Capitol Switchboard, 202-224-3121. Let me say that again. Write it down, and then I'll tell you where you can do to get some more information. But the number that you want to call the U.S. Capitol Switchboard is 202-224-3121. This is about stopping, defunding Planned Parenthood, killing babies. And there's talking points, Alex, at AFAaction.net. That's AFAaction.net. And you'll see the crucial talking points there, and they can help you with information. If you're wondering if we should do it, turn there. You'll get some information that'll educate you. So we need to defund Planned Parenthood. They're the ones that were selling baby parts over a year ago, Alex.
And also putting horrible curricula in schools. Sex ed curriculum that is not age appropriate, and it's certainly not, we believe, appropriate in the information that it contains. And Planned Parenthood, let me say this, has been one of the great enemies of abstinence-based sexual education for public schools because, you know, they make their money on unplanned pregnancies and terminating human life. And so this is something that you know, I just thank God that the ministry is being a champion for the voice of truth on this, to encourage our government in the right way. And let me say, folks, with a phone call, a letter, contacting your elected officials, your voice does matter.
Amen. And they'll tell you, oh, we don't spend any of government money for abortions. They pay it to help pay the light bill, and they help to pay salaries, which helps do the abortion. So, yes, get involved. Well, let's go to the phone lines, and let's go to Louisiana and talk to John. John, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello. Yes, I have a question on 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, that says that you were, God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. So my question is, the part on saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, so is that the ongoing work of the Spirit to modify our behavior, to make us more Christ-like? Is that a condition for salvation, just as belief in the truth?
Okay. Thank you, John. Let me read that whole passage. And again, look at the context. 2 Thessalonians is still writing to the church at Thessalonica that were concerned about those that had died. Where were they? The first one is about him coming. Where is the promise of his coming? And the 2 Thessalonians, more of the theme is about what happens to those saints that have died before he comes back. And so there's a lot of, and so this is a comforting thought. Let me read verse 13. But we're bound to give thanks to God. That's it, always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 13 and 14, Alex, you really got to connect them all the way completely. Mm-hmm. Again, sometimes the people that divided the verses up, originally they weren't like that. I believe it would have been better to have a long verse in having 13 and 14, because it was called to you by our gospel. The gospel is central here. Now, going back to the sanctification, salvation through sanctification by the Spirit, is that a part of what part of the salvation that the gospel brings to our life?
Well, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the numberings of the verses, the way the verses are numbered and split up is very, very often advantageous and helpful to us reading and kind of, breaking the passages up in digestible bites. But remember, the numberings aren't inspired. The words and their meaning are from God, but the numberings are not. And I'm with you, Bert. It would have been a long, long, long sentence, but it all goes together, doesn't it?
It does.
That we're saved, the Spirit draws us, the Spirit regenerates us, the Spirit beckons us to sanctification. Verse 13 alludes to that. And then, once we're there, we're supposed to stay with it. Verse 15, stand firm and hold. Keep on holding to the traditions. And fortunately, the Word of God, the family of God, and the Spirit of God help us to these ends.
Salvation, God brings it. But discipleship, I want to tell you, we work with God in our growth, in our discipleship. And, it's not to be saved and you just sit and wait and watch. No, God saves you through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He washes us. He gives us the earnest of our inheritance in the Holy Spirit coming into our life. And then we work out our salvation according to Philippians. The only way you can work out something is if you have it already, Alex.
That's right.
and so that's part of what he's saying here, that we do work on what God has given us. And if you're not working on it, maybe something's wrong. Maybe it's not real. Something is wrong if you're not growing in the Lord and the Holy Spirit sanctifying you. Something is wrong in your life. You need to find out what it is. So, John, thank you for that good question. Okay, let's go to Texas and talk to Jane. Jane, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just started listening to your programs, and your station is wonderful. I'm very blessed. I have three grandchildren, and my 34-year-old son listens to you and told me about your station. So I've been listening, and I have a question. I was listening earlier today, and they were talking about scripture from Corinthians in speaking of the church should, when someone is sinning in the church, how the elders or the priests should confront that person. And they said there's a scripture about turn their flesh over to Satan in order to save their soul.
Okay.
Do you know which one?
Yeah,
I'm
we do,
Jane.
So, yeah.
So I was very concerned. Are they insinuating or saying that person should be killed in order to save their soul? I know they're supposed to get them out of the church, but what does that mean to turn them over to Satan, turn their flesh over to Satan to save their soul?
Well, Jane, thank you for discovering us, and praise the Lord for your son telling you about it, and thank you for listening. Alex, let me give you this, and then you put it together, okay? You remember when Jesus was going to be betrayed, and he told Peter, he said, you're going to deny me. The betrayal took place by Judas and the denial by Simon Peter. But he was talking to Simon Peter about him denying him before the rooster would crow. And he said, but I've prayed for you. Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. God, Jane, this may be tough, but God even uses Satan in what he does to bring about some good in our lives. Now, I know that's amazing because he said, Peter, once you are delivered from, you know, this denial, once you're delivered, you go and strengthen the brothers. But Satan had desire to sift him as wheat. And so God was going to let this happen. So Alex, over there in Corinthians that Jane was talking about, do you think it's referring a little bit to that same purpose?
I do. And again, ma'am, thanks for listening. Praise God. Interesting. This is 1 Corinthians 5:5. 1 Corinthians 5:5, and it says that, you know, if somebody is in unrepentant sin, very willful, stubborn sin, and you've gone and you've privately talked to them and they're, determined not to turn from sin to Christ. The 1 Corinthians 5:5 says, deliver one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Okay, let's say what it doesn't mean. It does not mean that the church is to physically harm people, obviously not. But the two key words here, I think, Bert, are deliver and destruction. And basically, it means to abandon. I've looked up the words abandon someone to let them go their way. Why? And the word destruction of the flesh is really the word ruination or full destructive result. Now, here's the point. Bert, have you ever been maybe in the hospital of somebody that was dying? I've led alcoholics to Christ, drug users. I've led people to Christ in 36 prisons. And I've had so many times people say this, and yes, they had finally, after decades of running and a pretty high body count in their aftermath, they've turned to Christ, but they've said, you know, I wish I had turned to Christ when I was a young man. Alex, you keep on preaching. Tell young people, don't wind up like I did. And after the ruination of the flesh and the wasting of one's life, there often is remorse. And it's like what Paul, I think, is saying in 1 Corinthians 5, if somebody is bound and determined to pursue sin, sometimes you just have to let them go and hit bottom.
I would use another passage along that. If a believer and an unbeliever are married, and the unbeliever just does not come along and puts pressure, doesn't want to live with them, Paul said, let that unbeliever leave. You know, let them go to themselves. Under such things, you're not under bondage. There's this thing, and that's what Satan desires. And God uses even this, You can call it sifting. You can call it the rebellion. God even uses that to bring a person to their senses, just like the prodigal son. When he came to himself, Alex, what did he do? He came to himself when he was out there left alone, his father not there bailing him out, you know? So I think that's the exact sense of it, Jane, and we appreciate you calling. Let's go to Oklahoma and talk to Daniel. Daniel, welcome.
Thanks, sir. I just had a question about Mary Magdalene. In a Bible study, I was kind of disturbing. I thought that she was not a prostitute, and even though that's to account of a unknown woman being there, it didn't count her, according to Luke chapter 8, that she had demons. But someone in the Bible study said that Medallia meant a city, a town of prostitutes. And I never heard that. And I think they got it from the Babylonian Talmud. And I just don't know if is that a credible source of biblical information, or is that true? I never heard that before.
Alex, is Magdalene a location that identifies this Mary?
I don't know that. I know that the Word of God says it was a person Jesus had cast seven demons out of. And in Luke 7, it talks about a woman in the city who was a sinner who washed Jesus' feet. A lot of people think that's Mary Magdalene who, would have washed Jesus' feet. The city of Magdala being a place of prostitution, you know, I've read that, but it doesn't say specifically. So we know that Jesus had cast demons out of Mary Magdalene, but it doesn't specifically say, I don't believe it specifically says that she was a prostitute.
It does not, and there's a lot of assumptions there, and a lot of times the assumptions will be carried along as fact, but seven demons, they are. We're going to try to get another caller in today. She's been faithful going. Jean from Montana. Welcome, Jean. We haven't got but 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, brothers.
Yes.
Real quickly, the parable that Jesus said about the seed that fell among the rocky ground, the weeds and the good soil, it's obvious that the good soil means those who were saved, truly saved. The rocky ground and the weeds, are those, is Jesus referring to those who really were not saved, or are they just let the world kind of, the things around them just choke them out? Or
okay, Gene, you're asking a question that as Pastor Alex, I want to tell you, I was asked this question a lot about the first one is obvious, no salvation. The fourth one is obvious salvation. These two in the middle, there's some debate on that, but I'll give it to you. You have the whole last minute. It's you better live your life so there's no question. There's questions about the middle two. You don't want to live your life that way, do you?
No, the parable of the soils, really, you know. We often call it the parable of the sower, but it's kind of the parable of the soils and the soil being the heart. There's ambiguity there, and that tells me we better, like you say, be sure, make certain of your salvation.
Gene, we can't say, yeah, they were or they were not. That's man's inability. God knows. And what you want to do, all those you're listening, make sure you know Jesus Christ is Savior. Make sure He's Lord of your life, that there's been a time when you came to yourself and you turned to Him. If you have more questions, you can always call 888-NEED-HIM. And there's some people there to help. Well, Alex, tomorrow we're going to be in the book of Revelation, brother.
We are. We're going to look at the gospel. And Revelation is one, it's a book people have a lot of interest in. So tune in, and you don't want to miss it.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.